Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Happy New Year, everybody. And we are gathered around here in our gathering discussion show with Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And I'm Bob Ginsberg. And tonight we're going to be discussing a documentary by Dan Drayson called Calling Earth. I hope some of our listeners got a chance to watch that video with you'd send.
From what it, I saw on social networking, a lot of people watched
It. It's quite incredible.
And it really was incredible.
A lot of information that I was not aware of, and I'm sure a lot of people weren't. But before we get rolling, Fran, you want to catch us up on the festivities coming up?
Okay, festivities coming up. I want to remind all of our listeners, as I always do, to check the events page on our website regularly. That's where we're going to be posting everything new as it occurs. Some things fill up, some don't. So if you're worried about that, then just bookmark the page, foreverfamilyfoundation.org/events, and you'll be able to catch up with what we're doing as we're doing it. Otherwise, watch your emails, because we do send out emails on all of the events and changes that we make. Now, just to remind our listeners about what they might be missing that's coming up this month, we've got on January 7th from 1 to 3 p.m. an afterlife discussion group in Miami, Florida. That's free. January 14th from 2 to 3 p.m., that's Eastern time, Visionary Explorers Group. It's an online meeting that's also free. And January 8th from 2 to 4 p.m., the Afterlife Discussion Group in Sanibel, Florida, and that is free. So you see, we do a lot of free stuff, but we need you to support us so we can keep those things going. Our annual Holidays Past raffle drawing was December 23rd, and we thank everyone who participated in this annual fundraiser. The winners were posted on the website and were contacted directly. So we ask that you please not contact the office so as not to compromise the integrity of these readings. Our first webinar of the year is Spirit Talks and Spirit Walks, After Death Communication in the Laboratory. It will be presented by Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bocuzzi on February 15th, 2017, sounds nice, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And our annual group retreat is open for the super early bird registration on the website. We do recommend booking early, as last year the rooms at the retreat filled and some attendees had to stay off premises. If you are booking early, however, keep in mind our no refund policy. This event always seems to get better each year, so plan to join us this July 14th through 16th. Be one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone, who will be working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. And please, please, please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. So we count on you. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, great nonprofits, and WellZoo. A reminder, visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for all event links, information, and registration. Back to you, Bob.
And this documentary, Calling Earth, is a pretty apt name because we're talking about electronic voice phenomena and the broader term of instrumental transcommunication, where that's exactly, in a sense, what our Love, Woods, and Spirit are doing. They're calling Earth using technology. And when we talk about, you know, what media they use, I mean, we think of it in terms of recordings, you know, on tape recorders, but they communicate through telephone calls and answering machines and TVs and computers.
Radios.
And so it's, and this documentary takes us through the history of these instrumental transcommunication, and some of these startling, you know, examples. What struck me, and I would imagine the rest of our panel here as well, is that the clarity of some of these was extraordinary. I mean, we're used to, you know, we've talked about it before, these Class A, Class B, Class C, some of it's not discernible at all, some maybe, and some are really clear. But these were long, a lot of them were long messages, interactive. And do you recall the one from one of the pioneers in this research, Konstantin Raudova?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And he's
talking.
He was sitting and he's talking. And I remember in one he was talking with another researcher here today, Mark Macy, and he said, you know, they're talking on the telephone, and he says, clear as a bell, this is Konstantin Raudova.
Yeah,
I mean, so you
even pronounces his own name the right way.
Yeah.
Which I know it's crazy because I could never pronounce it.
I know. You know. So those kind of things are, and you also got the sense, you know, we think of both people doing it here and there, and I think they mentioned in the film, there's thousands of these practitioners that are collecting EVP in Europe alone, you know, so, you know, which was surprising. But 70,000 voices were collected by these researchers over the years in six different languages. And that's interesting. Why do these people in spirit, the Skarnets, always communicate in the language that we can understand? I mean, any thoughts about how that happens?
I just think because it's still kind of maybe partially the thought transference, which we know is what we've heard spirits communicate with each other, but they know that we wouldn't understand them if they spoke in a different tongue.
You still have to create the sound, though.
Thought transference is telepathic, so they still have to be able to create the sound that goes with it. And I think that probably, and maybe we could talk about this a little later, that's probably why so many people are able to pick up something but can't discern what it is, or they think that they know what it says, or they want to believe what it says. And clearly it probably is EVP, but there's something going on that doesn't allow the full communication to come through. So because of that, I would conclude that there is something that they use that allows them to choose the language or to speak so that you can understand it.
Well, it's interesting because there was, if you remember, there were two kind of conflicting statements about how that process worked with the language. In one part of the film, one of the Skarnets in communicating, and I don't remember whether it was through the radio or on the telephone, whatever, said that he was asked how he's able to communicate in the language, and he says, basically, I'm just paraphrasing, I put the thought out there, and some unknown force takes over.
Wow.
So, and then I think he said some unknown mechanism takes over. So they didn't know how it's happening. They just they put the thought. Then somebody else, one of the researchers was communicating with one of the researchers alive in the physical and said, I have somebody else here that wants to talk to you, somebody else here in spirit. He says, wait, I'll pass the device to him. So that raises the question. You know, we have all our little devices.
Yeah.
Are there devices in spirit, too, that help them, you know? So.
And I recall when there was one large gathering, and I don't recall the gentleman's name, who he didn't manipulate as if to change, but he was the owner of this radio that many, many, many people would come and listen to. And he did, I believe, ask the spirit voice to adjust to the many different languages
right.
that the listeners.
Yeah, that was Marcello Bacci, you know, in Italy, and that's pretty extraordinary too. So if you recall, he uses this antique radio with radio tubes, you know, something that even before my time, you know, and they. As you mentioned, Melissa, people gather. People have lost loved ones, and he does it all for free.
Yes.
He's been doing it for like 40 years. He's never charged anybody. And people recognize the voices distinctly, and he brings all these messages. But the most interesting thing is that the researchers have visited him over various times, and he gives them full access to investigate. And at one point, they took all the tubes. They took the actual tubes out of his radio, remember? And then the voice,
yeah.
and the voices still came
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
So, like, the radio's just a prop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, but then so is when on the other side they're saying, I'll hand the device over.
Right.
That's their prop. Because if, going back to what Tom said, we're creating it. So if they're going to create, they have the telepathic thing, they put their intention into it, they're creating the device that they're going to use to communicate with us through our receiving device. So they're setting up the thing that we physically have here so that they can communicate with us. And so when the intention includes in it the language that needs to be spoken, then everything falls into place.
Yeah. Well, when you say, when he said, I'm passing over the device, that would... We're thinking it's some sort of a material device, but material things are really based on thought and spirit.
Right, so thought. They're calling it a device,
but they're
playing out the whole thing that we expect them to play out.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not on the same page.
Interesting. Because we always talk about, like, maybe the people in spirit have mediums on their side, too, you know, to help.
Yeah.
And this could be in the same principle.
And, of course, they are going to communicate in terms that we can understand. Again, I go back to the Seth books where he says, well, I could tell you, but you wouldn't even, your brain couldn't handle it.
Right.
And part of this, also Seth coming up, is that you're connected. Your spirit is like an octopus with tentacles that go way out. So you might have a French-speaking end of a tentacle or a German-speaking on the other end, you know, and, you know, When he says I have help, that you're having help from one of the nether regions of your soul.
Yeah, and you make me think when somebody says to you, "Well, you know, you, I could tell you, but your brain couldn't handle it." Normally, we'd be insulted, or something, but not from spirit. Well,
no, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Right. But with Seth, here it's the same thing again, except Jane Roberts is the voice that Seth is using to communicate.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, if Jane Roberts may have had some sort of a tape recorder, which they didn't have back then, he may have used that, or he may have used some other thing, but he only had Jane's vocal cords.
Right.
So that they could both hear and learn about how the other side worked.
Right. What era was that written when you said they didn't
60s.
Have
tape recorders? It was in the 60s.
1960s, yeah.
I mean they had tape recorders, but nobody could afford them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. We have to go to our first break, and when we come back, we'll be talking much more about calling Earth. In case you wanted to join in, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Camlach Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlach Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlach.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
imagined, seen spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about the film documentary Calling Earth by Dan Drayson. And we were mentioning how some of the examples are really clear. I just wanted to mention two from the film that I thought were pretty extraordinary. Vicki Talbot, who has her son on the other side. He left a message on the answering machine in his voice, that you hear it and it says, "Pick up the phone, Mom." Mm-hmm. Very, very clear, Class A type thing. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one where Martha Copeland, who we also know, and she does a lot of research on EVP, she turned on her recorder and left her home. And when she returned, she immediately, when she opened the door, saw that her dog had made a big mess of things. But there was a message on her answering machine, and when she played it back, the message was from her deceased daughter, Kathy, who was admonishing the dog for making a mess. So we always ask whether they are aware of what's going on. Clearly, I mean, that's one of the values of EVP.
I think what's really cool about that is that
she's still disciplining her dog from the other
side. Yeah.
And the dog is understanding it.
Right.
A lot better than we do.
Yeah, you can imagine the dog said, damn. Let's take a caller.
Okay.
And I believe we have Richard on the line.
You do.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Yes, that's an excellent film. And I was really taken by Marcello Bacci's work. And I've just already pulled out a old transoceanic Zenith radio and have got it back into operation and am scanning the frequencies. But that begs the question, because there's a lot of frequencies. Is there any specific frequencies that the people on the other side call on? I'm trying to dig that up right now. And or is it just whatever you set intent, and then Spirit knows you'll be available at a certain time, and just have the recorder close by?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question. I don't know that the particular frequency really matters. You know, if you recall from the film, they gave a little how-to, you know, section, and basically it was, you know, the two methods were, you know, a digital recorder direct to the computer, or radio. They just said, you know, do it in the same spot at the same time, ask a question. They mentioned that having some background noise was good, which could be a fan or some sort of a, you know, these white noise generator things that you could buy inexpensively. They also mentioned it seems like meditation or dim light helps. And, of course, it becomes more frequent when you have an emotional bond with the person if you're trying to contact somebody in particular. But, I mean, that's a good question, frequency. I don't think frequency would matter. What do you think?
Well, you know, when you talk to mediums who talk about raising their energy, and some of the messages you get from mediums is that on the other side, things happen a lot faster. So intuitively, I would think that the quicker the wavelength is going by, easier it might be. Agree with you totally, and what Fran touched on earlier is that, you know, once the spirit knows where you're listening, they will probably come to you. But we also know that there are different levels, and not all spirit can communicate as clearly as others. So anything you can do to help that out, and in this situation, you've got a radio, you got to say, well, where am I going to leave it? You know, I'd leave it where the frequency is faster.
I got to hand it to you, Richard. You're trying to replicate Bocce's work. As a kudos.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We can all go to Flagstaff instead of going to Italy.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, the other thing is, you have to remember Mark Macy and his work from Radova and other engineers on the other side. They were actually giving him direct information and advice on equipment, frequencies, and to prepare and make so that communication would be clearer and easier.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was pretty astonishing. You know, they're on the telephone, and he's speaking as clear as a bell, and he was, so you plug this into this output and this into that output, and you use that frequency. That was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they also say with direct radio, you know, which is trying radio voice, which is what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will argue that it's stray signals because you're going to pick up, other frequencies, radio signals. And the argument against that is that, you know, most of the EVPs are very short. They're like 1.5 seconds is the average. So if you were picking up random signals, you would think that they would all be of varying lengths. And then, and Alexander McRae, one of the researchers, he made an interesting point. If everybody's picking up stray radio signals, where's the music? Is there never any music?
Well, actually, if you've noticed on some of Marcello's stuff, they actually have received some rather etherical music through the radios at times.
Yeah.
So there is, seems to be some radio, but what's remarkable is that not only do they see the voices coming through, but they can talk to the radio, and those on the other side respond to those questions.
Yeah, which is it's a lot different than the EVP that we're we've been exposed to, you know, with these you know, short little clips, and just think, and I think they proposed the question in the documentary of how the world might be changed, you know, if these EVP messages and these instrumental transcommunication images, if they become lengthy and clear, I mean, they would have big ramifications aside from proving, you know, that there's an afterlife, but we, people might change the way they live, and plus the information that we could get, you know, we might be able to cure a lot of our ills.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, and also you mentioned images. I attempted years ago where you take a video camera and you aim it in directly into the screen, a TV screen, and then and you get some very eerie effects because it's a picture of a picture of a picture that takes place.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things they use sometimes in the image. Unfortunately, I didn't have any success with that, but others have.
And, you know, used to they, I remember those days when they used to say, well, wait till the station goes off the air and then just get the white noise. But nobody goes off the air anymore. You
know?
We can't find white noise on a TV.
Yeah, when we were kids, we had, what, 2, 4, and 7, and now
uh-huh.
What do we get with all these channels when there's a channel you haven't bought? What does it do then?
It just gives you a message, you know, or it's a blue screen or something. You can't get the fuzzy screen.
Yeah, actually, you have to get some of these old radio, I mean, old TVs, that aren't hooked up to cable and start messing around with the frequencies that, because you just don't get any signals unless you're hooked up to some device or some cable or whatever.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the researchers, Richard, I mean, they did mention that it took quite a bit of time before they received something. You know, they they'd adhere to it and they were diligent. But I also noticed in the film that most of the researchers really got interested when they started to hear voices of their own deceased family members, almost all of them, you know. So
it usually takes about, Marcello starts off his meeting, and it takes 30 to 40 minutes before he gets the device adjusted just right, and he gets the frequency. And it's really Marcello who's the medium using the radio as his device, and it's almost would it happen if Marcello wasn't there?
That's a good question. That's a great
question.
Yeah, I mean, I think not, but I know that I've already witnessed you demonstrating your mediumistic skills at our convention. So you're right up. This is right up your alley, Richard.
Well, I will continue to endeavor at this and see what happens.
But, well, and keep us posted.
Yes. And I'll let you go on to another caller, if you wish.
All right. Well,
I'll just stay on.
Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you later.
Sure, thank you. All right.
Bye-bye. You know, we mentioned...
I'm going to keep my eye on that.
Yeah. we could try... Yeah, we could try playing... Melissa brought a tape. You want to set this up? I mean, I'll just say that we briefly touched upon the fact that their researchers like to classify the messages, to depending on how clear they are, and some are, we mentioned class C, which would be they may be real, but it's not very evidential, because if you play it for a whole bunch of people, not everybody will hear it. B is better, you know, quality, and clearly it is an EVP. And an A would be a everybody. If you play it for 50 people, 50 people are going to tell you what it's. So Now, tell us what happened in your case, Melissa.
Well, my dad had passed in 2010, and he was actually an electrical engineer by trade and had electronics magazines. He was very interested in anything to do with electronics. He was not a believer in anything to do with the afterlife. After he passed, when he passed, our granddaughter was about 3 months old, so he had met Tilly, and we were trying to, my daughter would often call the house. We maintained a home line. She uses a cell phone only, has a cell phone, but we maintain a landline with an answering machine. And I would have to say it was probably about a year and a half after my dad had passed that there was a phone message from my daughter on our home answering machine. And on the call, she, since we were not home to answer, she was prompting Tilly, who was probably close to her second birthday, to talk to us and leave a message. So my daughter was prompting Tilly to say, hello,
love you,
it's yeah. Tilly. And Tilly on her own said bye-bye, and the phone call ended. And then the following, it was a bit of a crackling noise. And I never gave it any thought at all, but we saved the message because it was our granddaughter.
Yeah, our granddaughter talking for the first time, we'd save all the messages. And then, of course, knowing answering machines, these messages disappear. So one day I figured I'm going to record all the messages and save them onto the computer so we have them, and then we can clear off the answering machine. And as I was doing this one, I heard the crackle, and I was going to edit it out, but then when I was looking to where to edit, I heard it, and I said, wow, I think we have an EVP, and I told Melissa about it, and she and I can both hear it. You can continue your story.
I immediately, and I'll tell the listeners what it is, even though that's influencing you, but I'm not here to test anybody. What I could hear was my dad's voice. He had taken to his bed soon before he had passed away. So lying down in bed, his voice was kind of rough and crackly, and on the EVP that I heard after Tilly's call, it was, it's Grandpa. And I heard it, as soon as Tom said, I think we have a little bit of EVP here, I had, my only preconceived notion was that it was going to be Tom's parents, because Tom's mom and dad had both passed away. Tom's mom was a big believer in the afterlife, thanks to the Forever Family Foundation, and Tom's dad had already communicated to us in many different ways, so I was totally expecting to hear one of Tom's parents, that was what popped into my head. So the moment I heard this, I thought, that's my dad's voice. Tom was able to put it on a file that we could put on the computer and sent it around to our kids, and my daughter did say, what is it? And I said, well, just listen to it again. This is texting back and forth. And the moment I said, well, listen to it again, because I didn't tell them what it was, she called me immediately and said, it's Grandpa.
Right.
So she could hear it. Other family members were in denial that there was anything. But I'll play it. So what you'll hear first is the snippet of what we feel is Class C EVP.
So that's after Tilly says bye-bye, then...
Then you'll hear it again. So it's going to start with the snippet of EVP. Oh. Then you'll hear the message the way we originally heard it, ending with the EVP.
Okay. And I do a lot with recording and sound and all that sort of stuff. So I know an electronic blip or clicks or things that you will get in recordings. And this doesn't fit with those. And that's why I knew right away that this is something different.
Right.
It could be EVP. So
okay, I'll play it.
Hold it, or put it in the box. Should it be here? Okay, go ahead.
Got a boom box here, folks, so let's see if it works.
I'm Mama. I love you. I love you, Mama. I love you. I miss you. I miss you. You're so good.
Okay, I heard. I mean, I heard it's Grandpa. Now you know.
Did I influence you, perhaps?
Well, you always wonder that. You know, I mean, I didn't remember it. I mean, when you brought this and you first played it for me, I didn't remember what the thing was, and I did hear it's Grandpa pretty clearly. So, I mean, certainly it's not a Class A, but a couple of people. If you heard it, and Tom heard it, and I heard it, and your daughter heard it, and a few other, you know, it's. You have to say there's something there, you know.
And it's definitely a voice. Like I say, it's not an electronic glitch or blip or click that you would get. It's definitely, because electronic things that happen in a recording tend to be consistent, and this has an up and down to it. This has syllables to it, you know.
And also, that was in the film that some of the researchers, they actually, you can create a voice print. You know, similar to a fingerprint, every voice has its own particular characteristic.
Yeah, that was fascinating.
And their conclusion in these EVPs was that the voices were not of human origin. You know, so that it didn't match. So that stuff is the researchers are pretty convinced when something's some sort of anomalous blip or. You know, an actual.
I still say that attached to it, even though it's a sound that we're hearing, whether it's coming to us auditorily or it's coming through a speaker or it's on an answering machine or a cell phone, it still has attached to it that telepathic component that tells us within ourselves that this is really coming from spirit. And I think that that's why the mediums, when they're getting a message, they get more than just what they're, quote-unquote, hearing.
Yeah.
And I think this lends itself the same way. That's why you knew from two different sides of it, one from a technological side that you work on, and two, instinctively, well, this is something, this is bigger than Phil.
Yeah. You know? And that's a great point, because I have noticed with the medium readings, often it is not what they're saying. It's the personality that comes through. I remember Melissa having a reading when she went to an event in the Bahamas very early on in our experiences with this, and my dad came through for her. And, I mean, he was talking about going out on the jet ski with the guys and swimming and things like that, which anybody could say that. But listening back to that reading, his personality came through. And with this EVP, as short and as mumble or grumbled as it is, it's his personality that's coming through.
Yeah.
You can tell it when it says it's Grandpa, we know exactly which Grandpa.
Right, that's the point.
I know we're
no way was Tom's dad. Yeah.
We're up on a break. But also, if you recall, in some of those sessions with the researchers, these voices from other discarnate researchers, they had a sense of humor. They were joking.
Yeah.
So there goes
for
your personality thing. So we're going to go to a break, come back, we're going to continue talking about calling Earth. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wind Bridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about the film Calling Earth by Dan Drayson, all about EVP, instrumental transcommunication. We've been talking about the recordings. The visual part of this is really, it might even be, you know, more incredible, where people project images onto different things like a TV screen. There was one part in the film where one of the pioneers in research, Jurgensen, from the other side, one of his friends who was living turned on his TV, and there was Jurgensen's, you know, image. But it wasn't one of those cloudy things that you're questioning it could be, like you see things in the clouds. I mean, if they took a photograph of him and they put it right next to it, and it almost looked as if it was a replication of the photograph, which you would think to suspect fraud. But, you know, they've investigated these things. I guess some fraud exists, but not in these cases. You know, that I think the term is pareidolia, you know, where we have a natural tendency to make sense of things and see random things, and our brain tries to make an image out of it. We're just wired that way. Mm-hmm. And I realize that in a lot of the things. I mean, we even did a little informal test of our own, you know, how people constantly see things in clouds. You know, yeah. They're the only ones that see it, but they would swear that they see it. And I think I've even discussed sitting in conferences and looking at the ugly carpet,
because I'm
bored to tears, and I just keep looking, and I keep seeing the same damn face in that carpet, you know. But I know it's a pattern.
That doesn't mean the spirit's not sending you that mind suggestion that you're going to assemble those carpet fibers to resemble something.
That is true, and it's interesting. Your story points out what we all go through is you immediately dismiss it, saying, oh, it's the carpet, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. You know, nowadays we should be saying, oh, maybe somebody's saying something.
You know, I did my own experiment because I was sitting at my desk one day. It was a spring day, and the trees were in full bloom, and I swore that I saw a recognizable face in the formation of the leaves on the tree. And I said the same thing you did. Well, I'm creating that. So I walked away, got a cup of coffee, came back 15 minutes later to see if I could find it again, and it was still there.
Wow.
So if it was still there instantaneously when I walked back, it wasn't like I had to look for it, I had to put it together, I had to wait for it to materialize or whatever it was still there. The next day, it wasn't. Now, we know the tree grows, but I'm back to that thing, the suggestion. They're sending you the suggestion for those carpet fibers to create the image that you need to see at that moment.
And I recall telling you about seeing on the pattern of the marble bathroom floor Tom's mom and dad dancing. And the moment I was like, why did I never see that before? Well, I haven't seen it since.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That day I was like, why didn't I notice them? But
well, I got to tell my story again because of this. The show, but my mother passed away in October of 2010, and I have, for years, I've had this thing with the number 1111, you know, seeing it, things, you know, just surrounding me. So 3 months after she died, it was 2011. So Melissa and I were together, and it was January 11th of 2011, so it's 1-11-11.
1-1-1-1.
And it was in the morning, and we started talking about my mom, and my cell phone rang. So I went and to pick it up, and it only rang once. So I opened it up to see where the call came from. It said unavailable, and it was 11:11 a.m. when the call came in on 1-11-11, and I certainly, right then and there, I said, well, it's mom.
And your call, and your phone has the same phone number as your mom's at that time?
No, this was the old phone.
Oh, okay.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. It might have been. When my mom passed, she lived in the house from all of my growing up since I was 4 years old, and we had a phone number that I always liked because it was the same forward and backwards, you know. And so when she passed, I called the phone company and had that number assigned to my cell phone. So I have my mom's old phone number on, or my family's old phone number on my cell phone now. So it could have come through that number, but the rest of the story, that I don't know, but the rest of the story I remember clearly.
Well, still, the question goes back. Instinctively, you knew it wasn't so much the coincidence of the 1-1-1-1-1 or the 11-11, but you knew who was sending it because that telepathic message was connected to it.
Right.
So we seem to have a little bit of a difference of opinion. So for instance, I'm always taking the analytic point of view. So on the EVPs, you know, I don't consider it evidential. As I said, I could play it for a large number of people, and the majority can tell me what it is. Or if there's a visual image that's appearing somewhere, whether it's in a reflecting pool or a tree or whatever, and I don't give it any validity unless I can call upon a bunch of people, and they all can tell me, verify what I'm seeing. But what you're saying is that, hold on, you know, it could be that somebody in spirit is just trying to get a message to me,
right?
Not trying to prove there's an afterlife, but just getting a message to me. So it's immaterial about whether other people can corroborate. Right.
And it may totally be impossible for other people to corroborate it at all, because the message was sent to you the same way when a medium is communicating. You're sitting in the room, you don't get the benefit of what the medium is getting. It's being sent to her. She then, in turn, explains it to you. So when you're getting that visual in the carpet fibers, that was sent to you to get. anybody else in the room could be looking at the same carpet and saying, what are you looking at?
Yeah, well, I don't buy the carpet explanation in this particular case because I was bored to tears. And it wasn't anything meaningful. It was just stupid stuff, you know. So, I mean, but I understand what you're saying. The images are interesting. In the documentary, there was they mentioned this Robert Vandenbroek, who's in Europe, and one of the things he does is he can predict the locations of crop circles before they occur.
Yeah.
But that's a separate aside. But he also can project images on film. So a bunch of credible researchers, you know, have worked with him and. In a laboratory, they control the camera, they put in a fresh memory card and erase it to make sure there's nothing there. And they control the, you know, the even when they were using a regular camera, they bought new film and they held the film guarded in a canister. And then Vandenbroek stands in front of a curtain with the camera, with another camera focused on it to watch what he's doing, and he just snaps pictures. And images appear, you know, on the film, which, of course, he relinquishes the camera right afterwards to the researchers, and they, you know, develop the film. And all sorts of interesting things, including that same researcher, Jurgensen, appeared on his camera, you know. So it's hard to explain these things. And if you ask him, he said, I'm not the source. I'm a conduit of this energy. So... all that stuff is pretty amazing. And they also talked about the Skoll Group, which we know all sorts of stuff. You know, the physical stuff, and I know that we've all sat in the physical, seance, but the difference here is that they had 500 sessions over a five-year period, and there was some pretty heavy-duty researchers there, David Fontana and Montague Keen and Ellison and all people that are well respected in the field. And they found in all the sessions over the years, you know, no evidence of fraud. But these were all, not so much spirit communication. They were drawings, signatures that would appear, apports, things of that nature. So you just have to take it for what it is. You know, I mean, you have to, at some point, you have to trust the researchers.
And anybody interested in this, if you're in the New York area, we went about a month or so ago. There's a place called the Merchant House in Manhattan. It's got the distinction of being the only brownstone in Manhattan that is still owned by the original family that owned it, and it goes back to the Civil War. And there's a fellow who's involved with our foundation called Dan Sturgis, who does a demonstration there of EVPs that he's collected from that house. And they do the gamut from C's to A's, and it's a fascinating demonstration and really gives you the
That's pretty EVP. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's time to wrap up.
Sure. So we're going to ask our listeners to now please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Rich LeBlay, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mullen, Marianne Pierschka, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, and Marvin Ginsberg. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.